following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
God, you are so good and so gracious, so good to us. God, I pray that you would just do a work in this place. God, that you would just do a work in this place all throughout this weekend. Would you just be at work active in this place today? Lord, I pray that you would let the word permeate through our bodies, Lord, that you would speak directly into our hearts for all who've tuned in to listen and to be a part of Refuge this weekend. Would you do a powerful work inside of us? Lord, would you do that thing that only you can do, which is comfort and encourage and strengthen us? Lord, would you do that this weekend? Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity you give us, and the heart of Refuge is to take us to your word, Lord, to be empowered by your Spirit, to hear something from you that only you can say to us, Lord, this weekend. Would you do that? Lord, we pray that today. Lord, we pray that you do that work. So less of me and so much more of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're glad that you're joining with us. And I want to just jump right in because we've got some things to cover in this place today. So here's one thing I would just say. I love my wife. She's incredible. I could go through a list of things that I love about her. But one of the things that I absolutely love about Bethany, my wife, is that she is a labeler. She labels things. If you came into my garage, you would see that there's these tubs and they line a wall and they're all labeled. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're a labeler. I'm a labeler. I like to see where things are. And here's the thing with labels. They help us to know what's inside. And so you may have seen labels like this. You may see something like this where that's, and that's not my house, but there's a pantry where everything is labeled. And we all take advantage of this. We go to the store and we want to know what's in our food. And so we're appreciative of those that label things, companies that label things. We want to know what we're buying. I wonder how many guys have a tool chest that looks like this, right? The clamps. So you can go right to it and you know right where things are. And you know what you're going to get when you open that drawer and that tub. And so my wife is killer at doing that. And I love labels too. I will label things just because that's who I am. I love that. Now, maybe you're not a labeler. But you would love and appreciate those that label. But here's the thing. These are things that we have labeled, and we like to label things, and it's helpful. But there are times when things aren't the only thing that get labeled. Sometimes we label people. There are times when we label people, where we put something on someone, we put a badge on them. And sometimes those things can be good, like the label CEO or manager. Those can be good labels. Even teacher or pastor or mechanic or whatever. Those can be labels, and they help to identify who a person is, and those can be good as well. But there are times when someone gives someone a label that is ever so damaging, where it hurts someone to the core, and maybe that's you. You've been labeled before. And there's a vast majority, and these are sometimes things that happen in junior high where someone gets labeled, but they also happen as we move into adulthood when someone may label you something like this: mistake, stupid, loser. Maybe somebody calls you lazy, or you're that angry person. And you get labeled something which you don't think you are. And maybe over time, however, as people continue to put these labels on you, they attach these labels to you, they stick these labels onto you, maybe over time you start to fall into the trap of believing the lie. You start to believe the label that somebody has put on you. And over time, it just wears on you. So much so that maybe you have a hard time seeing past some of the things maybe a parent or a grandparent or a boss or a teacher labeled you. Or maybe even still, all the way back in junior high, somebody put a label on you that you can still remember this very day. And maybe even at times you go back to that label and you think about, man, I remember when they called me that, and it's kind of just stuck with me. Well, I want you to know something today. God has a label for you. In fact, God has a couple labels for you. And I want to say this. If God has a label for you, then that label should stand out above every other label. Every other label should bow in comparison to the label that the living God, the creator of all things, labels you. You want to know what that label is? I want to share it with you. So let's dive into the word tonight and let's see what God labels us. Let's see what he calls us. And if God calls us those things, shouldn't those stand out above all other things? Look at what it says here. And actually, before we dive into that, let's get you caught up to where we are. If you would, and you haven't gone there already, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to dive back a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1. And in fact, we've been looking at this idea that Peter says that we are exiles. Now, Peter is writing to a group of people who've been dispersed, probably over five different regions, and they're dispersed out. But then he also draws on this idea that you are not only just exiles in this country, in this land, but you are exiles of heaven, that you are, your home is actually in heaven. And in this moment, in this time, you are living as exiles on earth. That God actually has a home for you in heaven. And for the time being, you live here on earth. Now, he says this of those that have been born again, they've come to know Jesus. And if you have a second, I would love for you to see these passages, because as we've talked about labels and things people have labeled you, I want you to know that God will strip off all those old labels, things that people have stuck to you, and he wants to stick something else onto you, a new name, a new label. I want you to see these. Take a look at these. This is what we've learned from 1 Peter so far, kind of give you a brief look back. Listen to what God says about you. You have been gotten to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now think about those labels. Man, so cool. Think about this. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But listen to what you were redeemed with. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and with spot. In other words, this thing that God did for you wasn't just because he had the money to do it. Those are temporary things. He says, listen, I will send my one and only son to die on a cross for you. Why? Before God so loved the world. That's how much he loves you. Now, I want to know what this God believes about me, and we're going to look at that in our text. Look what else he says in 1 Peter. You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This thing that God has done is eternal in you if you are born again. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've trusted in him, then this thing that God has done to you, and Peter wants his people to know that, I think he would want you to know that tonight. This thing that he has done in you is forever, incorruptible, incredible. I want to know what this God believes and thinks about me, and so we're going to look at that in our text. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Here's what it says. Pastor Bill hit this last week. Here's what it says. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, those things that we just read, if those things are true of you, and you've tasted to see that the Lord is good, and you're thankful for that, then begin to live a life that honors the Lord. That, listen, that you would desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In other words, that desire to be next to Jesus, to grow into the image of Christ, that I desire that, I desire his word so much so that I begin to grow in my walk with him. And he says, listen, in the same way that new little babies crave that milk, you and I should crave and desire to grow in the Lord, to crave his word. Then we hit our text today, and that text talks about instead of just growing as a baby would grow, now it's going to talk about building. That he just switches the picture, the image here a bit. One is a baby who's going to grow, and now we're going to talk about a building that's going to be constructed. 1 Peter 2:4, moving in, and I want you to see what God has labeled you. Look what he says here, verse 4. As you come to him, that's coming, and the idea there is coming, but believing in Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. See, the analogy of building is being used now. Babies grow, buildings get built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I would encourage you to get a piece of paper, have one right by your side, and be ready to write, because I want to give you some things that God labels you as. I want to give you some things today that God is labeling you as, and here's your challenge. I want you to write them down, and I want you to look at them 100 times this week, or however many times. Look at them, keep them near you, and write them down, and ponder over these things. The first label that he's going to give you is that you are a living stone. Let's explain what that is. Peter is drawing on this image of a stone in verse 4. He says, the living stone, who we know to be Christ. And he's actually pulling this context of Jesus being the stone. He's going to call it a living stone. He's going to call it a cornerstone. He's going to call it a precious stone. He's pulling that from the Old Testament. Just one of those places that he's pulling from is from Psalm 118. Look what it says. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now that's important for our text because he's pulling from the Old Testament. Peter's saying, listen, Jesus is significant. Jesus is significant because he answers Psalm 118, but that's not the only text. We'll look at more tonight, but one of them is Psalm 118 he pulls from. This is what it says, the stone which the builders rejected. Jesus was rejected. He has become this important part of the building program of God. But Peter doesn't just leave it there. There's another time Peter mentions this Psalm 118 text. And it was in Acts 4:10. Here's what it says. Let it be known to you all. In fact, this man who could not walk has been healed. The Pharisees of the day, they want to know, how did you do this? How did this happen? And listen to what Peter says. Let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. In other words, he's been healed. This is the stone which rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Peter's saying, this is important. You know this text from our Old Testament scriptures, and this Jesus is that chief cornerstone whom you have rejected. And then he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Peter says that to those Pharisees. He says, listen, it was prophesied about in the Old Testament that there would be a stone that God would lay here in this place. Jesus is that stone that you continually stumble over. You have to make a decision on that. But listen, Peter, Paul weren't the only ones that made reference to this stone. Take a look at Matthew 21. Jesus himself says this. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus himself makes reference to this idea that there would be a stone that would come, and it would be in the land, and people would stumble. They would not believe on this stone. It would be a stumbling block. Jesus himself, and Peter picks up on that, and he says, listen, this is that living stone. This is your label. Look what he says here in our next text in verse 5. He says this, you also, like living stones. Write that down. You are a living stone. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Where does he get this idea of the building project, of building a house? What's the idea? What's he saying here? What he's saying is that God has a house, and Israel knew God had a house. That house was called the temple. And in that temple, people would come to sacrifice and to worship. It was the central part of their faith and who they are. They would come to this place from all around to worship God. And in fact, it was a major part of the identity and who they are and were was the idea of the temple. And here in the Old Testament, oftentimes too, is it would called the house of God. And here Peter says, you are becoming the house of God. You are living stones being formed and created by the great contractor, God, Yahweh, who's building these living stones into the house of God. It's an incredible point that he's making here. Jesus speaking to the woman at one point at the well. You remember this. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. And because one of the questions could be, well, how are we the house of God? How are we living stones? We had to go to the temple, right? We have to go to the temple to worship. And Jesus said, no, listen. Listen to what Jesus says in John 4:21. I have this up here for you. John 4:21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain in Samaria nor in Jerusalem, the temple, will you worship the Father. There's going to be a time where you will come and you will worship in what? Spirit and truth. That will be the contingency, will be your heart and what you believe about Jesus. That will be the thing that makes you a living stone that adds you into the house of God. Well, what you believe about what you believe about Jesus. Jesus speaking to that woman says, listen, it's not going to be in a location or in a place that will matter. It'll be wherever you go and you bring the belief and the trust and the heart that loves God through Jesus Christ. That will be the thing that matters. Let's see where else we get that in Scripture. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We know this. Jesus said, wait, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to indwell you. He's going to be in you. God's Spirit, it dwells in you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God where? In your body. That no matter where you go, you are a living stone that brings the worship and adoration and service of God, no matter where you go. Listen to what it says here. In Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Listen, Christ Jesus himself being the what? Cornerstone, in which the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. He's not talking about a physical building there. Let's get that so clear. He's not talking about a physical building. He's saying, listen, you are being joined together. Who's you? Living stones. Those that have put their faith in Christ. Those who are born again. Those who say, I want to honor Jesus. You are being joined together. You're growing into the holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's a powerful image, and that's exactly what Peter's saying in this text. He's saying, listen, you are living stones, and God is doing a building program, and you're being built together. You're being added together. You're creating and becoming the house of God. And then he gives this title. He says, you are becoming holy priests. You're becoming a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about something here. So powerful. Where are these people? They're spread out. They're scattered all around. And some of them are thinking, man, if I could only get back to Jerusalem, I'd love to go back to the temple and worship at the temple again. I'd love to go back to the way my father and grandfather did it. Some of them who were Jews and maybe who believed on Jesus, they're thinking, I'd love to go back to that place again. And yet we're away from home right now. And we're kind of scattered throughout the land. And Peter sends him this image. He says, wherever you go, wherever you travel, believer in Jesus, God goes with you. The work of God goes with you. The worship of God goes with you. The adoration and the love of Jesus goes with you, even when you are dispersed, even when you're an exile and a stranger in your land. And I believe that's a word for us. I believe that's the same thing that's true as you sit behind your screens and you would love to be back at the building called Refuge. You'd love to be back in this building again. And I agree with you. We'd love to have you back in this building again. But the idea of worship and praise and adoration and serving the Lord has not been diminished because you're behind a screen. Because wherever you go, the work of God goes with you. And that's the same thing Peter is saying here. Listen, you are a living stone. That's your title. That's what God has labeled you. Write that down. I'm a living stone. And God is assembling these living stones together. And sometimes, and praise God for this, sometimes that is physically where we're together. We're gathered together, the assembly of the saints. And we never want to forsake that. That's a powerful tool used by God. And sometimes when we're dispersed, when we're in exile away, God is still present with us, speaking to us, directing us, loving us. And I think that would have been a powerful word for those that were dispersed in Peter's day as he tries to pull them together and say, you are still important to God. The label of living stone taken after the living stone, Jesus, he says, listen, God is still constructing his temple in you. That's powerful. Wherever you are is the center of God's activity in the world. Then what do? He says, you become a holy priesthood and you offer spiritual sacrifices. So as these living stones, we also have this idea of service and honoring God and worshiping God. The idea of the holy priesthood or the priesthood that was set apart would have been those that would perform, starting all the way back with Aaron in the Old Testament, and then the tribe of Levi, they were charged with all things to do with the temple. So people would come and they would offer sacrifices. Levites would offer the sacrifices on behalf of the people. They would minister to God for the people, and then they would turn around and minister to the people for God. And that's what a priest did. And then they had this unique ability to go into the holiest of holies or into the temple itself. And it was a unique thing that only the Levites could do. And those were the priesthood. And then Peter intentionally says, you are becoming this holy priesthood. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with viewing myself as holy or a priest. I don't know what image you get when you think about yourself being a priest. But here's the image that you and I should get. Here's the image that we should think about as we think about him saying, listen, you become a living stone. You offer as a holy priest sacrifice to the Lord. Here's what the image should be. Someone who has access to the Father. Think about that. Someone who has access to the Father. Someone who ministers to God and is ministered to by God. Someone who can minister, offer ministry to the living God, and someone who's ministered to by God. Someone who has become a Jesus follower is someone who becomes a priest. Someone who is set apart for God's purposes. That's what a holy person is. They're set apart for God's purposes. So when we think about the idea of priesthood, and I agree with you, that's a little hard to take in. What does it look like? Do I wear a robe? What does that look like as a priest? The idea of priesthood is really, I have access to the Father. I minister on behalf of the Father. And God, I know, is calling me. He's given me a purpose and a reason. And so as you think about the idea of priesthood, think about that. And now you might think, I don't deserve that. Who am I to be doing ministry for and to God? And I would just agree with you. We don't deserve that. That's not something that we deserve. But Jesus paid a price so that you and I could have access to the Father. So when the idea of priesthood comes up and offering spiritual sacrifices, we only are able to do that, not based on our own merit or work, but on the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. That we become living stones. And part of the work of the living stone that's being formed into this spiritual house of God is that we become priests who worship God, who have access to the Father, who have service and ministry out to people, not because we're good, but because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now, those idea of spiritual sacrifices, there's lots of different ideas of what that could be. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That would be one act of worship to him. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. Maybe that's the idea. Whatever it is, it's begin to kind of what we talked about at the very beginning. He says, if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious and good, then begin to walk a life that looks like that out. And that's what a priest would do, set apart for him. I'm set apart for him. I want to honor him and love him and worship him with my actions and who I am. So Peter says, you're living stones. That's one of our labels that God has given us. So much better than a lot of labels people want to give us, right? There's so many labels that people want to slap on us. Hey, I want to be a living stone. I want to be set apart for the things of God. I want to honor him and worship him. I want to be part of God's house and part of his family. But then he says, listen, not all people will be part of the building project. Not all people will become a living stone. In fact, as we've talked about already, Jesus becomes a stumbling stone for some. That some don't get past the idea that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for our sins. Not everyone gets to that point. Look what it says here in our text in verse 6. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. I want to stop right there because that is absolutely so true. Those things that we talked about, becoming a living stone, those to be able to honor God, to have access to the Father. If you've tasted and seen that he is gracious, if you've tasted and seen that he is good, if you've had that moment where you came to the Lord and you were so broken and you said, do you still love me? And he said, I still love you. Come and be a part of my family. If you've tasted that, then you will know what he says. For those that have identified who Jesus is, he says, now to you who believe, those of you who believe, this stone is precious. It's invaluable. There's no amount of money that would equate to the value of what Jesus is to that person. And then the question has to be, is that my heart? When I think about Jesus and what he did for me, is he precious? God calls him precious. He's my chosen one. He's my precious son. Is he precious to you? Is he precious to me? Because he says here, now if you who believe this stone, this Jesus, he is precious to you. He says this, he goes on. But to those who do not believe, there's a contrast here. Some will believe, some will not. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble, here's why, because they disobey the message. In other words, they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They don't believe that, which is also what they were destined for. Peter, again, is going to use some Old Testament text here. And I just want you to see this because I thought it was so cool as I studied this week and I saw all the places that this idea of rock comes up and Jesus is the rock. Take a look at this, Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone. A what? What's that word? A precious cornerstone. God thinks he's precious. A sure foundation. Whoever what? Believes will not be in haste. And I kind of added a little seg there just to understand the idea of haste. Will not be put to shame or be dismayed would be the idea. Look at this one, Isaiah 8:13. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he, listen, and he, who is he talking about? The Lord. and he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Now, let me just say this. When you put your faith in Jesus and you miss out on what Isaiah talked about and what Peter is making reference to, that not all will believe, when you've put your faith in Jesus, you think, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've given me clear revelation in my life about who Jesus is and all the things that I get to derive from that. And not even just mentioning those four verses we read when we started, that we have an inheritance, that we've been saved with an incorruptible, it's unchanging, it's forever, it's eternal. Jesus, Lamb of God, we've been saved by that. Jesus becomes all the more precious when we realize what we are going to miss out on. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah, Peter's pulling from these Old Testament passages of Isaiah, and he pulled from Psalm. He's saying, listen, I want you to know that this should not sneak up on you. That Jesus, as the cornerstone, as the living stone, did not just sneak up and jump in and surprise us, but that it was also, he was talked about before. God is the one who has laid this stone. Jesus is that stone. Now, I love the image. He says this in this text. He says this, he's the chief cornerstone to this building. Remember, he's assembling a building, and what's your label? Living stone. That's right, living stone. And he's creating this house of God. But before you start the building project, what do you need? You need direction. And that's what Jesus is. He is the chief cornerstone. I took a picture here. Now, not every cornerstone has the label cornerstone on it. But this is the foundational stone, larger than all the other stones. It's going to set the direction of how the builder is going to build their building. And so the chief cornerstone sits there, and all the other stones take their cue from the chief cornerstone. In fact, the contractor, who's God in this context, he's laid the chief cornerstone, he's laid Jesus down, and all the other stones will go off of that. You and I will be based on what that chief cornerstone does and says, and the direction that his life went. We want to imitate that chief cornerstone. I love the building analogy and image. In light of this building analogy, you can see the value of Jesus. When we go back, and I know I keep going back to this, but how precious is Jesus that he comes and he lays the foundation, the foundation, the chief cornerstone of the way that we should go. So when we say, I look to Jesus for that, or the old wristbands, what would Jesus do? When we go back to that, it's because he is our chief cornerstone. Now here's a reality. Some of you probably have building projects that have already started. And maybe today you would decide, listen, this building project that I've been building on, I was the chief cornerstone. And all the decisions that I've ever made have been based on me as the chief cornerstone. And my building is a little wonky right now. I feel like it's maybe even falling apart from the inside out. And the things that are going on inside of me are starting to show through on the outside. Things are getting out of control and my building is off. I would just say you can restart your building program. Lay Jesus back down as the chief cornerstone. Come to him or come back to him and begin to build your life off of him as the chief cornerstone. Listen, God says, I'm creating something here. It's the house of God. And I'm calling living stones to come and be a part of this building program. And maybe at some point you jump ship, or maybe you've never heard of this before. And Jesus, who is that precious living stone, who is the chief cornerstone, would say, hey, come be a part of my living stone. Begin to align your life with me. What you see in my text and in my word, come and line your life up with me and my words and my life. Imitate, he would say, imitate me. And begin to see what happens to your life, begins to happen to your building project as you line your life up with Christ. Consider even just leveling the ground and saying, I'm starting over again. I'm coming back to the Lord again. I'm coming back to his word. I'm coming back to the body of Christ again. Now we get a few more labels, and quite frankly, these are my favorite. These are my favorite. I love these labels. I want you to think about these labels in light of what God has now said to you in this place today.
God says, I love you. I'm calling you. You're my living stones. I want you to come and worship me, and I want to speak to you, and I want to direct your hearts. I've sent my son to be the chief cornerstone of the church, yes, but also for your life. So lay your life and put it next to my chief cornerstone. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And then he says, listen, for those that come to me, for those that are added to the house of God, for those who are born again, for those who believe in me, here's what I want to slap on a new label for you. Here's what I want to start calling you. Look what he says here in verse 9. Please write these down. Get your pencils ready or your pens ready. Write these down because I want you to think about them this week. But you are a chosen people. Whew. Change it all. Life changing. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh my goodness, look at this one. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, something so important here. Make sure you get all these down. I put them on here. Hello, my name is. And you can just write Living Stone as your first one. And then know this. Know this. You are chosen by God. God didn't make a mistake. Some people may have said you are a mistake. God doesn't say you're a mistake. He says, no, in fact, I chose you. I've called you. I'm calling you to be someone who serves my people in the house of God, that you're a royal priesthood, that you have access to me, that you can, when you have a problem or an issue, Jeff, you can come to me, pray to me, talk to me. You're a holy nation. I've set you apart. In this time of exile, as you're away, Peter would have written, he says, make sure you remain holy. That you're set apart for the things of God. He calls you a special possession. I don't know if you have a special possession, something that you think, man, I will never give this up. This is something that I was given, and it's been given and given and given, and I'm just holding on to this. This is special to me. And he says that about us. He says that about you. You are a special possession. You're a proclaimer of praise. He calls you all these things. If you notice the text and what it says here, he calls you all these things and he says, I've done this. I've called you these things. I've added you to the house of God that you would declare, that you would proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. That when you start holding on to these titles and you see Jesus is precious and you see what God did, then all of a sudden you can't help but proclaim the praises who called you and I out of darkness and into his wonderful light, that there's something that you've experienced, that you've tasted and seen that he is good. That now you have to proclaim. That one of the things that you can just slap the label on me is I'm a proclaimer of the things of God. That becomes you. Listen to what he says. You become the people of God. You're part of the family of God. And listen, I love this last one. You're a receiver of mercy. That once you didn't have mercy, that was before you knew who Jesus was, God called you to be part of his family, and he says, I'm going to bestow on you, Jeff, mercy, undeserved. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. Now, I want you to look at those names that are up on your screen. I want you to see those names, and I want you hopefully you took a picture or you wrote a list down, and I want you to keep those up in front of you all week. Because these are the things that God has labeled you. And I just want to be super clear here too. God has labeled his church this as well. In fact, that's primarily what he's saying. This group of people that I've assembled in five different regions, Peter would have said. I'm writing to five different regions. You're all living stones. You're all part of the building project, the house of God. He says, you're all the chosen. You are all the royal priesthood. You're the holy nation. These are things that he declared over the church. And I will just say, but you make up that church, that you're part of that family. So I think you can take the name and say, I thank you, Lord, that I am chosen. Thank you, Lord, that you've made me your special possession. You can take that individually, I believe, as well. I would just say this too. As we think about the time that we're living in and this COVID-19, and there's lots of different talk about who opens the doors and who doesn't open the doors of the church. And is your church opening the doors? Ours isn't, ours isn't. And we start talking about this. And there's different opinions about who should and when we should and how we should. Different opinions. I think we need to be careful when we label another church and what we say about another church. And I would say that's true for all time, that maybe we have a different opinion of the way the church handled something or the way we handle at our church, but this church does it differently over here. I think we need to be careful of that. Here's why. Because all those names that are on that screen, chosen, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, think about that. He labeled his people that. And so when we decide that we're going to somehow say a word against another church or against another brother and sister in the Lord, we are talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are talking about people who God said, this is one of my people. This is my chosen one. This is my special possession. So Jeff, be careful of the words that you use about another brother and sister in the Lord, or even about another church. And maybe they have a different opinion of the way things should go, but we need to be careful how we label them. If God didn't label them that, we need to be careful that we don't label that and put some false label on a church or on a person that God didn't put on them. Because you know this to be true. There have been enough false labels put on you and put on me that aren't true, that God would say, listen, I want you today to rip off those labels. Get them off yourself because I have a new label for you. In fact, I've got 8 up here alone. You could probably make more, but here's who you are. You are that living stone. You're a chosen one of mine. You're a special possession. You're a royal priesthood. You are part of a holy nation. You're set apart for me. You are a people of God. Isn't that incredible? You're a receiver of mercy. Can't we extend that mercy to someone else? Can't we extend that mercy to someone who has a differing opinion than us? I'm going to extend that mercy. Why? Because God extends that mercy to me. That I have a new label that's put on me. Now, here's why this is so important as we close. In the next coming weeks, he's going to talk more about what it means to be an exile, living in a land that is not your home. In the coming weeks, let me say this again, he's going to talk more about what it means to be a citizen and a slave and a husband and a wife in a land that is not your own. And to get those things that he's going to share with us and he's going to speak to us, we have to understand that we are primarily and first and foremost a citizen of heaven. We have to know that those labels that you wrote down are true of us. That's why I said this week, make sure you look at those labels and you come next week ready to say, I'm primarily chosen. I'm primarily a child of God. I'm part of his building program. I'm a living stone. I am part of God's special possession. I'm part of that set apart nation, holy nation. That's primarily who I am. Then whatever else comes my way, I can take it. I can hear it. I can receive it because first and foremost, I'm a child of God. And so know those labels. That is so important for where we're going. And I would just say today, strip off those old labels. Get rid of them. Get rid of the junior high label that someone said about you that hurt you. And the hurt may still be there, but that's not who you are. What your parents called you, what the person maybe at work said to you, maybe even a boss, labeled you as this. And I would just say, strip away that label. It's time to put a new label on. Use one of those that you just wrote down. Take a look at these. I put them back up here again. Peel off the label. Put a fresh new label on today in this place. Decide today that I'm going to hold tightly on to who God calls me, not what other people call me or other people tell me I am. Who am I in Christ? And if maybe for the first time you're hearing this idea that Jesus is this precious cornerstone and I want to line my life up with him, maybe tonight, today is the night that you would do that in this place, that you'd make the decision, my life is falling apart, things are not going well, and I need to line my life up again with him. Maybe that's you. And so let's pray for that now. And would you join me? Would you join me to pray for those maybe who have either walked away from the Lord and are saying, listen, things aren't going well. I want to come back to him again. I want to start a new building program and lighting my life up with Jesus. Or maybe those for the first time. Let's pray. Lord, I believe wholeheartedly that you want to do something powerful
in this place, that you want to speak to us and direct us. And one of those things that I believe you've said tonight is that we need to strip off some old labels. Would you help us to do that? That when we come to your word and we see what you have called us as the church and us individually, what you've called us, Lord, that's powerful. To hold on to those words, those names that you've called us, may we hold tightly onto those. And maybe somebody is watching and they have not believed that about themselves. But Lord, maybe they haven't known you either. And so maybe today is the day that they give their life to you, that they surrender wholeheartedly to you, that they say, I believe in Jesus. I want to follow after Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he rose again. I believe that he paid the ultimate penalty and price, which was death for me. And I believe that in believing in that, and we see that word believe all through the Gospels, and even here, we see it tonight. If those that would believe in me, they will be saved. Maybe today is the day, Lord, that they would strip off all those old things, the things that led them to have a building that's not standing straight. Lord, they would get rid of those things and begin to follow you and trust in you. I pray today that they would simply do that. God, you are so gracious to call us. We see this. We are one of the labels that you put on us is a people who had not received mercy and now have received mercy that we did not deserve. God, thank you for that amazing, incredible gift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, just kind of in closing, here's what I would say. Those people who've labeled you, they threw out words, and those words can oftentimes stick with us. I know this to be true personally. Those words stick with us, and they become those labels sometimes that are defining for us. But can I tell you something? That those people who said those words about you, they said them, and then they moved on. And they left us stuck with these labels and things that they said about us. And they're not thinking about it today, but maybe you are. But here's the thing. God labeled you. And he called you certain names, chosen, royal priesthood, set apart, holy nation, my own special possession. And here's the thing about God. He didn't just call you those things and leave. He calls you those things and continues to call you those things time and time again. In a sense, he's saying, I'm reminding you today. I'm reminding you about who you are today. And time again, he'll come and say, Jeff, here's who you are. Don't believe that. Here's who you are. And that is a special, special thing. And that's, again, why we go back and we say, Jesus, thank you for allowing us to have that view of our Father, our Heavenly Father. You paved the way for us to know. And that's why you are so precious. And so this week, your homework assignment, to review those names that God calls you so that you're ready for next week to know what he says about who we are as exiles in this land. Have a great rest of your day.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.